sucker, hunty, and it's time to fry harder. Latkes, donuts, whatever greasy food there is, some Jewish folks make their own miracle by stretching that oil out for 8 days, just like they did in ancient Babylonia.
Today, the delightful Meg Grunewald joins us to take a look at the Hanukkah Comedy Spectacular, Home for Hanukkah with Bubby, where she and other comedy improv stars invite you to participate in the traditions that make Hanukkah a festival of lights.
Listen as Meg chit-chats with us about poking fun at her Jewish family's celebrations and how improv actors are coming to terms with consent so that their shows don't go off the rails by an unwelcome grope.
Plus, why we love and hate Hallmark Channel holiday movies.
A little boy makes it legal to have snowball fights in Colorado.
Gay wrestler and Instagram hunk Dave Marshall sells access to his erotic nude photos for charity.
And Dolly Parton says her husband fantasizes about a three-way with her and Jennifer Aniston. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. It's Hanukkah, hunties!
Woo!
Joining us today is comedian Meg Grunewald, best known for her comedy special, Home for Hanukkah with Bubby.
Comedy, it's my comedy special. It sounds like you said Comedy Central special, and I got really excited that I got upgraded.
You're on TV
what?
Now, man.
Hey!
Yes!
We are on TV in our imagination TV.
Yeah. Yes.
You get to play an old Jewish woman on television.
Perfect.
Again and again and again.
You don't have to wait until you get old. You can do it now.
Yes. Yes, I can. Yeah, my Home for Hanukkah. It's a third year.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
And it's a spectacular celebrating your traditions.
It's a holiday experience. I want you to feel like you're coming into your grandparents' house and with all of the, you know, obnoxious family members and the unwanted advice and all that. But
what's interesting is their actual family is sitting in the audience watching themselves be parodied on stage, and they don't hate you for it.
No, they like it, actually. they celebrate it. Last week, my Aunt Eva got sang a love song, so now she's part of the, you know, she's married to, we got a new family member now. So.
And your very affectionate Uncle Bernie is there.
You just, you
who
know.
Who likes to make out with
he
men.
He does not like to make out with
He did kiss my husband
he
on the lips.
On
you know what? It's an old, it's
I
an old
liked
person
it a little
thing.
Bit, though.
He bent over and he kissed him right on the lips.
Because he's like 9 feet tall. And that's why
he's
he
like,
bent
you're
over.
Such a nice goyim.
And
come
let's just say he bent over to meet your lips, not bent over the other way.
It was a platonic kiss.
Yes.
It was a kiss of a family affection.
I mean, this is the third year.
Way
you're
of
bringing
saying,
up this kiss, so I feel like it means a lot to you.
Well, I thought it was unusual, you know. We live in a very consensual, conscious-oriented society, and Bernie was sort of bringing some old-world charm.
I think he thought I was dating you.
Oh.
I think he thought you had...
Because you and I are very affectionate
well,
with
and
each
I,
other.
I think that he thought you had... that you were at a wedding with me once because I brought somebody else that had you know a beard.
So he kind of looked.
Hair.
He thought I was your ex-boyfriend.
I think that's what he thought.
Oh, that's so he does that while they're ex-boyfriend.
he's testing. He's like, let's see if he's good enough for me. Let's see what those kisses
see what
are
those
like.
Kisses do.
And yeah. Of course, your wonderful parents.
Yes, they were. My mom was
Barbara.
There. My dad was not. My dad was there. My mom was there this last week though. But yeah,
the Etsy queen.
Yeah, her yarn bowls and jewelry.
It's sitting right there.
Yarn bowls.
Yeah, your parents are amazing arts and crafts people who make a good living selling stuff they, you know, burn in their furnace in a kiln. You know, the ceramics.
Yes.
And art, jewelry and all kinds
you know, they're,
of art
they're,
stuff
they're,
on Etsy.
They're busy people.
That's amazing. That's really admirable.
Yeah, they're
whereas we're all like, you know, hey, we're doing a podcast, you know. We're making cookies. Oh, did the audience know?
What?
We're now, if you make a substantial donation to Feast of Fun,
we're going to send you a box of cookies.
And I just ate some of them, so they're delicious.
Mm-hmm. We have fruitcake cookies covered in dark chocolate. We have almond macaroons. We have krumkakas, which is a Norwegian cookie.
Cookies, yes.
They're basically a vanilla cookie with a little bit of, sprinkles
they're
on
top. They're kind of like pizzelles, but a little different flavor.
And then we're doing cigarette-style pizzelles, but those are also Norwegian cookies dipped in white chocolate and rolled in little almonds. It's quite delicious. So go to feastoffun.com/donate. Make a one-time donation for the holidays. Put something other than a coal in our stocking.
Put something else in your mouth.
Because I do like it hard and hot, but I wanted to be, cash is a 5-pound box of money can't hurt. Just try me, Santa. Try me.
5-pound box of... I got 5-pound box of money. Who does it belong to?
That's what Pearl Bailey sang in one of her jazz classics, is 5-pound box of money.
That's what she wanted from Santa for Christmas.
You keep the tree, the stars, the lights, and the fruit. Because all I want is a little... No, the root. Because when it comes to the tree, all I want is a little bit of the fruit.
I thought you were going to go with loot there.
The loot.
I guess that's the nice instrument we hear on Christmas.
The money tree.
Eve, the loot.
So in your event, Home for Hanukkah with Bubby.
Yes.
It's you and
my
your
friend
comedy
Cynthia Kamak. Yeah. Cynthia. She plays my husband, Zadie. And we are the hosts of the whole night. And each week we have kind of a mixed bag of people. Just kind of invite everybody. There might be 15 people in the cast one night. But everybody kind of has a place. They sit around with, they might sit at a table with, patrons. They're ringers. They're plants.
They put them in the audience.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, a lot of, people who aren't Jewish don't really have a really well understanding of why Jewish people even want to celebrate Hanukkah, not Christmas.
So we do have we have some characters that enter. They've often been known as the church ladies, but they're the neighborhood ladies. And sometimes they're the Carols, and they're just a bunch of people dressed up like, I'm Carol. and they come in, and they are they're the non-Jewish part of the show, which it's sort of our way of inviting the audience that's not Jewish to be like, hey, here's your people being represented, and like how we are really welcoming everybody into the space to.
Are they evangelical Christians? Are they trying to convert you?
No, they're not trying to convert us. No, but they're like, is this Jewish Christmas? but so that, we learn a little bit. I like to make this show very educational in ways that you don't really. Infotainment, they call it. But, and people do walk away realizing that they've learned a little bit more about Hanukkah. And then this year, in the past, I've tried to get different businesses to donate latkes and stuff like that. And it was just a lot of work. And so last minute, I was like, you know what? I don't want to not have latkes. So
why are latkes so important for Hanukkah?
Potato pancakes, right?
Yeah, potato pancakes. Well, you're supposed to eat things that are fried in oil because that's a reminder of the oil, the miracle of the oil of Hanukkah.
Are you shitting me?
No, I'm not.
Really? Things are supposed to be fried in oil?
Yes.
Remember?
Okay. Yes, you're supposed to. So the oil lasted 8 nights and it's supposed to only last one. Mm-hmm. And so in honor of that miracle, we mm-hmm. eat things that are fried in oil.
Because this is the temple during the Babylonian captivity. They had the oil. It lasted one night, but lasted 8 nights. And it was a minor holiday. But
yeah, it's...
Because the power of Christ and Christmas is so big that it just made this little tiny Jewish holiday into a multi-billion dollar industry now.
Well, I think also I would argue that any remnant holidays of any culture, because of the fact that, at least in the United States, we file taxes based on... January 1st to December 31st, anything that happens beforehand is kind of way of spending your money and having a big old celebration and maybe with your business being able to write it off, your business going into the black out of the red. Mm-hmm. It's just culturally we're going to be driving consumption up until December 31st.
And they say the consumption around Christmas and the holidays is the consumption that drives the entire economy all year round.
And so we, for example, ended the year in, say, March, which that's where April Fool's comes from, is that the calendar used to end around in the spring. And so I would imagine that there'd be a lot more celebrations, just culturally speaking, around the end of the year. And that's where April Fool's Day comes from, and all those springtime bacchanals that the pagans of yesteryear used to celebrate, dancing around the maple. But here we're lighting up candles and frying up egg rolls and...
Egg rolls. You're jumping ahead to Christmas there. But this year I got latkes that I got from Trader Joe's, and we're doing them on a griddle. So we actually smell the latkes, and then they're hot and ready.
Now, there's
so you come and you'll get some latkes.
A lot of, if you guys are on the internet, you see a lot of latke recipes.
Yes.
And the worst ones don't tell you. This is the secret, guys. When you shred your potato, shred it into a cold bowl of water, because the water rinses out the excess starch and it makes your potato latkes nice and crispy.
And then even to make them even crispier, you drain those and then you put your potatoes into like a tea towel and soak out the rest of that water.
Yeah,
and then your potatoes are
going to
be like,
possible.
Yeah, they're going to be like real crispy.
And that's the same idea of doing hash browns.
Yeah.
It's, but a lot of people
just
don't know.
These are just hash brown patties.
With hash browns, they do it 20 minutes, soak it in water.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would imagine that's the same thing, you know. And then, of course, you want to crack some eggs.
Crack some eggs, add some matzo meal or flour and breadcrumbs or something like that.
No, you added, didn't have matzo meal.
Some panko.
Panko, the Japanese breadcrumbs. Mm-hmm. And actually, that comes out really good.
Yeah, it was good. It was like, add some extra crisp to it.
Now, my friend Karen Lewis, you guys heard her on the show. We used to put curry powder, peas, and shredded carrots into it, as well as crushed garlic. And made them kind of like a savory, yeah. Eastern style.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's all different variations of the fritters. Mainly just consume as much fried oil as you can.
It's about
Why
the
don't
oil.
You drink oil?
It's about the butter.
Yeah. Specifically the
Are
the,
there
the
other
oil.
Like snacks or, you know, Hanukkah snacks that are associated with frying stuff in oil?
Your sufganiyot, which are jelly donuts. So eating donuts, and I tried to find out.
I can get behind that.
Yeah, I tried to find out, almost like a poochki, basically. Mm-hmm. I tried to find out why you eat jelly filled as opposed to just regular donuts, and I couldn't find any information about why. I just information going, jelly donuts for Hanukkah. Good job, you found it. And I'm like, well, no, I didn't want to know why. And they're like, well, because the oil. And I'm like, but why the jam? Nobody can tell me.
Yeah, I have to have a little something. Nowhere in the Torah does it say that it shouldn't be a little sweet.
Nowhere in the Torah it says, thou shalt be dry.
is the dust on those mints.
God.
So
Mandelbread.
Home for Hanukkah with Bubby is at the Improv.
At the CSC.
CSD.
Comedy Sports.
Comedy Sports Theater.
Where
the
you are
CSC
a regular
theater.
Cast member. Is
yes,
that what you're called?
I am a regular. I'm on the roster.
The
so
roster.
I say I'm a player. But yeah, it's at 929 West Belmont, Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. until the 19th of December. That's our last show. And this week is actually actual Hanukkah. So we'll actually do the candle lighting at
So get your tickets ahead of time.
Yeah, $10. So easy. And it'll you get free latkes. You don't even have to pay extra for latkes.
Does it come with sour cream or applesauce?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have both those sides.
All right.
And you're going to be smelling the
Is there a third side or a fourth side that people might not consider that would be good on a potato pancake?
Oh, for sure. Some smoked salmon and some creme fraiche.
Some caviar.
Yeah, some caviar would be good. Cream cheese.
That sounds good.
Like a
caramelized onion.
Maybe like a little like cranberry sauce, like a little.
No. A little Gouda with a slice of apple.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Now in the show, you know, it is about family and traditions, and with family comes intimacy and kissing each other and grabbing each other and hugging and stuff. In improv, that's an ongoing conversation about sort of, you know, granting permission without communicating that verbally.
Consent.
Because, you know, I mean, if you're in a play or in a movie, you're going to rehearse that. And actually, since, you know, I guess they've existed, but now there's way even more. You know, you have a fight coordinator on a movie if there's fighting or there's weapons or whatever. Well, now, if there's sex roles, people are bringing in intimacy coordinators because that person is the mediator person going, does that feel comfortable? If not, we, mm-hmm. you know, this is what we're trying to achieve. Great. Does everybody feel good about this? And it's not a director stepping in saying, hey, can you touch your boob? Mm-hmm. It's more somebody going, okay, this is what we're trying to portray. Let's figure out how to portray this with what's comfortable for everybody in mm-hmm. the scene. And I think, you know, you're almost like, why hasn't this person existed for all these years? How many sex scenes have we seen in movies? It's like, I guess they're just...
Well, they say some of these scenes are not necessarily consensual.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, like the last Tango in Paris, they're saying that, like, there's a rape scene. They're like, yeah. The actress is saying that was not a consensual scene.
Yeah, I'm sure there's... I, as myself, have been a, you know, younger actor in student films and had somebody, like, try to, you know... snuggle up with me in bed while we're waiting for a take to start. And I'm like, we're not acting right now. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Like, we don't need to get
method
into the
acting.
Mood, you know?
Well, actors rhythm have a reputation of being very chummy with each other.
Yeah, but I don't know you.
Yeah.
And you know, I have no problem being, like, you know, intimate and close with somebody, but, you know... We're
spending. We've seen your Tinder.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. Swipe right always. For a good time. No, but I mean, I am always trying to push and encourage people to, you know, be closer on stage and show real interaction. Like, why is this husband and wife character so far away from each other? Like, you don't come home and greet your significant other. And also, you know, even, and this even goes into not intimacy, but like, you know, showing other relationships that if you're two women and you get marriage, why can't I say, like, you know, Karen, I'm so excited to see you. And the other person say, Melissa, I'm so excited to see you. And we're married together. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't automatically have to be husband and wife mm-hmm. because you got marriage. And like, just, you know, like moving past the boundaries of like what we expect to see on stage mm-hmm. You know, we've moved very far away from seeing people close and intimate on stage. And in improv, like, there is a great power to be had there if everybody's on the same language.
Because mm-hmm. I'm sure there's been some problems in the past with, you know, probably guys being like, oh, you're my girlfriend. I'm going to come up here and I'm going to stick my tongue down your throat. And you're like, I'm just trying to do a scene about, like, our lost dog.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and it's the thing is, it's like there should be a fine line of somebody that, you know, that fine line of between what is comfortable and what is strenuous. And what are you doing? Are you using somebody's body for a laugh? Mm-hmm. Are you grabbing something so they're the butt of the joke? Are you both in on this? You know, I mean, there's definitely different levels. And basically, as long as everybody looks comfortable and happy mm-hmm. on stage, the audience will go along with most mm-hmm. of what you're doing. But the minute somebody is like, whoa, that was not what I wanted to happen, everyone goes, oh, no.
Because they feel it.
They feel it. I mean, if somebody's doing something unsafe, everyone's like, oh, God, please don't drop her. Please don't drop her. But if you're holding somebody confidently and that person is sitting on somebody's shoulders like a proud, like, circus act and they're like, da-da, then the audience is like, yay, we're not worried about you. So, you know, if in Shame and Intimacy, if you kiss somebody and you don't recoil in shame, and now if you're a good actor and that was a problem, at the, you know, afterwards, have that talk with your partner to be like, hey, you know, I really didn't appreciate you just running in and kissing me. In the future, can you make a little bit more eye contact with me or give me some kind of warning?
Well, it's kind of like you're on a first date. You're not just going to, like, kiss this person out of nowhere.
Yeah. And I mean, I have to say, I don't touch a lot. I'm a very touchy person just in general because I feel
like
I'm
your Tinder.
Okay, we got it.
But, like, I think I'm, I feel like I'm being very motherly.
Yeah.
And, you know, mm-hmm. like, and I have to stop and ask myself, like, oh, my God, I hope that somebody like me touching someone's back and being like, hey, you're doing a great job mm-hmm. is not seen as like.
Some people don't, like, want to be touched. Like, you can't pat them on the shoulder.
I know,
you can't touch them on the back.
But
you can't touch their elbows.
However,
some people don't even want to shake your hand.
However, yes. However, I do think that in workshops mm-hmm. when you're exploring this stuff, that it's great that we all have limits. But in a safe workshop environment, that sometimes those boundaries are keeping us from pushing forward and getting closer to people. Because we are like, I want to respect your boundaries. Mm-hmm. I want to respect your boundaries. And it's like, I do want to respect those. But in some situations, I wish that there was a little bit more push for people to like break free a little bit more and push
hashtag
themselves
me
to.
Too.
I mean, well, but I mean, everybody, you should just like, you know, you should want. We are scared of feeling uncomfortable,
sure.
And I think that some
the
people
awkwardness.
Could benefit from feeling uncomfortable in a safe kind of environment. But because we do want to respect everybody's situations, it's like, you know, that's kind of an opportunity.
You want people to
just,
necessarily, because the thing about comedy is that a lot of it is the fluidity of it and being able to roll with the punches
exactly.
and keep on going.
Yeah.
And if you're constantly feeling as though every time you move, you're butting up against a wall, it's going to make it really hard to make some of that.
Or
comedy.
That you're worrying that you're going to step over the, you know, I mean, I'm not going to grab somebody's butt. I'm not going to grab somebody's boob, you know, unless it's that kind of show.
And how often is it that kind of show?
Whenever I make it that kind of show. No, it's,
what, it's just the three
often.
Of us in a little room.
You know, I mean, I used to play a dirty show, and I jumped in on it a couple times, and I definitely was like, I don't know what this is.
You're like, spank me, spank me.
But so, I couldn't even feel like that because I was I don't know what you'll do. Mm-hmm. You might spank me. I'm like, maybe that's not wording.
So how do actors or comedians who want to have a realistic experience with intimacy on stage communicate that when they're improvising in the heat of the moment?
I think, well, having a conversation beforehand, you know, that also helps because, you know, a lot of theater people are like, do whatever you want. I'm going to change in front of everybody and like, kiss me, hug me, whatever. And I just think like having, especially at Comedy Sports, it's six of us playing and mostly it's me and two other people playing on a team. So whoever I'm on my team, it's like, hey, tonight, you know, how's everybody feeling about hugging?
Yeah.
Cool.
French kissing.
Lifting up, French kissing. You know, can I go down on you? Like, what are we doing?
Slap and tickle.
Well, slap and tickle. But I mean, just having that conversation of like, hey, how are we feeling today? And, you know, there's certain people I know that like my partner and Bubby, I know whatever we do to each other, we're on board for. And mainly when we do our kisses to each other, we just bump noses going,
well, you're all Jewish people.
We're all Jewish people. But I mean, if I, you know, if her and I were like, let's plan a big one on each other, she'd be like, you got it. Like, you know what I mean? And that's just because we know that we know we're safe with each other. We know the benefit that this is going to do for comedy, but it's not at the detriment of either of us.
But well, I would also argue that you guys really have genuine affection for each other. And so it's like being physically intimate in that way, even if it's the ultimate end goal is for a laugh, it's still a celebration of your friendship.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, in improv, it is that magic art form that we all speak the language of yes and we can jump in and play, but
speak the language of what?
Yes and.
Oh, I thought that was like a great god.
Yes and.
We sacrifice to yes and.
Move over, Del Close.
For people that don't know,
yes and is here.
That's the key to improv: is you say yes to whatever's happening in the room, and you try and elaborate, so you keep
add
it going. Because like if you do a no, it's like a hard stop. It takes everybody out of the moment.
Exactly.
It can ruin that kind of scene.
Yeah, which in intimacy, you know, we as improvisers don't want to say no to something. So if somebody makes a move on you that makes you feel uncomfortable, you know, we as improvisers are like, don't say no, but this feels so horrible. And then the audience sees that you want to just say no. And so we try to find ways to say yes, but which in this case, you know, usually is a no, but for this, it's
yes,
a supportive
and,
yes.
But
he's selling Vicky Pollard from Little Britain.
And so how do you stand up for yourself, have clear definitions of what you will and will not do, but still be inviting to people to have fun and play with you?
I think that just, encouraging the places where you do like to play. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that could be in sex as well. You know,
sure.
It's like, hey, I'm up for A, B, and C, but tonight this
stay
is
with
out.
My nipples.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so in improv, it could be like, hey, I'm cool with hugging. I'm cool with kissing. I'm cool with lifting people up. I'm cool with being lifted up. However, I am not cool with people touching my face. Mm. Like, I really don't like people touching my nose, personally.
Oh, really?
I don't
that?
Like people pinching my nose. Kids,
I
like, used to pinch my nose, and I'm
that.
Like, oh my stop
God.
It. So, I don't like people touching, like, pinching my nose.
You know what happens when they grab your nose? Your nose swells up, and it gets bigger.
That's why Jimmy Durante, somebody grabbed his nose all those years. It's like, ha, ya, ya,
ya. I've had people like that for whatever reason. That's one of the places they like to grab.
Yeah, they like, oh, I got your nose. And I'm like, that is
don't touch my nose.
I hate that. So that's the kind of communication I would have with them. I think, you know, and that's sort of like when you are with somebody like, hey, I like when you touch my butt. Please don't touch my armpit tonight. You've seen my Tinder, well, you know.
It's really interesting hearing you talking about the concept of yes and, because it reminds me a lot of Oscar Wilde and the time periods that he lived in England, where they would write erotica for
yes,
each other.
Yes, of course.
Which later, that term of writing, one person writes a stanza and then another person adds to it. One of the rules was you didn't negate the sexuality or what was happening beforehand. You yes and to that story. So these stories would get really, really wild. But the reason that they did it is because no single person was the author. So no single person could be sent to jail for writing erotic fiction.
Well.
And then later on, Surrealists sort of borrowed that idea as a parlor game and turned it into a game of Exquisite Corpse, which was they would draw a body part and then they would add to it and create this really wild looking body, you know, and that's where the word Exquisite Corpse came from.
The term.
Yeah. So now when we play that, we're sort of nodding to Surrealists, French Surrealists. And
what is a body really? An arm extends into a brain, extends into an eye, into a lip. Anyway.
But I think that's a really core idea that when you're collaborating with other people creatively, or just in life in general, it's always so important to honor the ideas that precede you and add to that, the same way you would add, you know, decorations for a Christmas tree or a Hanukkah bush.
You've seen my Tinder. It's just the end for everything. Sexual on this show. Get used to it, everybody.
And just the idea of, you know, sort of honoring what's there before you and you know, adding to the conversation as opposed to trying to negate to that.
Yeah.
As Westerners, it's very easy for us to crush the past and build upon that as opposed to, you know, celebrate the past and add to it into the future.
Yeah.
It's about love, baby.
Yeah, you gotta.
That's what about it is.
Think about
you believe that you're Freddie Mercury now because you watched
yes, darling. I watched Bohemian Rhapsody on World AIDS Day, and now I've basically, darling, I've created my own Freddie Mercury. He says darling all the time, darling.
You were saying that the impersonation of Freddie Mercury
is a cross between Tim Curry's sweet transvestite mixed with Mick Jagger.
You know, Mick Jagger was originally asked to be and was supposed to be.
People wanted him for that movie role.
For the role.
But Richard O'Brien, who wrote it, was just like, no, it has
you're
to be.
So
what I understand, I think Peaches Christ told us this. Peaches, correct me if I'm wrong.
He was going to be in
they
Rocky
couldn't
Horror.
Insure him for the role.
Is that right?
Because he had trashed the set or a hotel room in the past for another film that he was involved with. And so he basically made himself uninsurable for the movie. The reason 20th Century Fox even wanted to make this really exotic, viral sensation musical into a film was because of the commercial success of John Waters' Pink Flamingos. I'm like, I never thought of Pink Flamingos as a commercial success. I've always thought of it as this underground film. But at the time, it made so much money that all the film studios are like, we got to get into this counterculture thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why films like Rocky Horror Picture Show was made, but then subsequently Star Wars was made. And so Star Wars would not have been made and could not get argued to be financially funded by 20th Century Fox. It if not been for the commercial success of Pink Flamingos.
Well, what did Rocky,
let that
what,
sink
what
in.
What did Star Wars have to do with Pink Flamingos? I don't understand.
It was a countercultural film. It was a science fiction at the time was seen as not part of the mainstream of Hollywood. So any kind of these films that were on the fringe by the studios were considered to be very exotic and weird and you know, especially a cantina scene is a freak show, just as much as John Waters' actual friends in Baltimore were.
You know, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this the other day when I was at the movie, and there's like, you know, the preview where everybody's getting their drinks at the thing and they're at the concession. It's like the the preview picture, whatever, advertising the movie theater. And I was like looking at it and I'm thinking, you know, our society is changing, and I'm like, okay, that's a curly haired woman and, you know, that thing. And I was like, I wonder at what point will just be like, it'll be like the Star Wars like universe where somebody with like one eye will be getting a soda and like somebody being like, they're like, I don't know what, I'm just going to assume they all use the pronoun they, like, you're like, where we're just like, we can't tell who's who. I just think that would be really interesting. Cause I'm just like, when are we going to see that? Where we are seeing more, we're seeing more diversity. You know, it's like, you're seeing more, you're seeing, you know, a interracial couple out on a movie date. You know, it's like, you're obviously, this has been happening for a long time, but you're now seeing it in, you know, I'm just like, at what point it represented. And I'm like, at what point to do, like, are we going to see everybody represented? Like, somebody extremely overweight in this video versus somebody who's, like, alone in a hoodie by themselves masturbating in the theater.
I think there's a real shift in the 90s. I think most of the people you'd see in, like, commercials and stuff like that were always, you know, pretty fit and pretty trim for the most part. And I think somewhere in the 90s you started seeing more plus-size people, like a plus-size mom or a plus-size dad.
But now you're going to see, like, women with short hair that kind of look androgynous, or, you know, when are we going to, like, start seeing more non-binary people and things?
The pioneer of all that.
We're pushing for that.
The pioneer of that sort of unconventional, or they sort of did it to get attention and to shock the public, was Italian designer company Benetton. Initially, they had young, fit, athletic people of different ethnic backgrounds.
The United Colors of Benetton.
But then they started putting out publications that had less and less to do with the clothes and more about shocking and reminding people of, you know, people, the injustice of the world. And one of the most shocking images was Ronald Reagan with Carposi sarcomas all over his face.
Ooh.
And that was a bad ad for Benetton.
Wow.
So that's where they went from, you know, diversity to Reagan has AIDS.
Well, and that's quite a political statement.
Yeah. And so, and I think that, you know, since then, and it commercially worked very well for them, you know, designers and the fashion world is sort of always thought of being pushing that envelope on appearance and, you know, slapping our face with our own sensibilities as a way of getting attention and selling clothes.
Yeah.
You know, meanwhile, you know, other people are like, you know, showing Brooke Shields wearing jeans or it's like, if you look at the advertising of that time period, everything else was so tame compared to what Benetton was doing.
Oh my God. I look through, you know, you think back on, people would be arrested for showing like an ankle, you know, and I'm like, looking through Instagram and I'm just like, I could find you a bare ass right now. I could find you a bare ass in 0.3 seconds on Instagram.
Oh, without a doubt.
I could find you, I could find you foot fetish channel on Instagram.
Please don't.
2 seconds. What else do you want? What, you want elephant
well,
porn?
It's really interesting.
I got elephant porn in here. I'll find it.
That, you know, in this day and age where sort of nudity is ubiquitous, advertisers don't still sort of shy away from sexually explicit content.
Yeah.
And, you know, to the point that, like, very successful porn stars or sexual content creators are moving to platforms like Just for Fans to, you know, make a living. One athlete, his name is Dave Marshall, is quite attractive.
I follow him on Instagram.
29-year-old gay wrestler, personal trainer from Australia, 6'3" and full of muscles.
And beard.
I don't like a man with too many muscles.
Yes, you do.
I didn't make it for you! So he is now raising money for a suicide prevention organization called Beyond Blue by donating a portion of his monthly fees for his fans, and has raised approximately $3,600 for the organization.
Aww.
Isn't that nice?
That is nice.
I was like, finally, you can masturbate to porn and
do
raise
something
money for
good.
Charity.
Finally.
I think that's great. I would like to see more of that.
Well, let's think of what campaigns, what cute campaigns we could, like, you know, just gloves for hand jobs or something.
Rub one out. Annie Sprinkle said we could stop AIDS if we just visualized a world without AIDS every single time we orgasmed. And you could sort of like raise monies for, you know, AIDS charities by actually doing that with sites like Just for Fans. Mm-hmm. If you donate a portion of your income to
this
to
year,
charities.
We're doing a sexathon instead of a runathon. Okay, we're really like hoping that you could help raise some money. We're saying $5 a fuck. We're raising up money. Thanks so much.
I don't know. I appreciate the efforts, but it's also like, do I want to mix my porn with my suicide prevention? You know? I mean
autoerotic asphyxiation, you know?
We're talking about different things. We're talking about raising
talking about
money
that's
for
good.
Important charities that would not
Then we were
going to
come up with fake charities that would benefit them. we're collecting gloves, and in return, we're giving hand jobs.
Marshall wrote on his Instagram page, I know my way of donating to my charity might be a little unconventional, but the waves of conventions, but the waves of positive messages from you guys have been a blessing and get me so horny too. I added that part. To those that don't agree, suck it. Look around. There's so much negativity in the world today already. Sheesh. Don't add to that. Spread some positivity and love life.
So, Meg, you did like Bohemian Rhapsody, the movie?
I did.
Yeah?
I did. And, I learned a lot about his life through it. I didn't know
he
about
He was
his...
a singer and a musician.
Wait, what?
Freddie Mercury. Yeah.
Never heard
sang.
Of him. What? I watched...
He had big teeth.
Yeah. I didn't know his teeth, like, gave him that space to... hit those
that
different
vibrato, they
yeah.
say right
that yeah that I didn't know that I didn't really know like you know much about his childhood mm-hmm. or I didn't realize he was you know such a like dramatic drama queen like
there's only room
I'm
for
the
one
best
queen
and
in
I
this
you
band.
Know like I didn't realize he was so like me but at the same point you know I it was really you know, as somebody who's like, yeah, let's see what other things we can do. There's one part where they're recording their album before they kind of make it big, and they just start making a bunch of noises with, like, you know, they're like, they have a bell, and they're like, and like a pot and pan, and they've got water, and they're dumping, and they're making all this kind of crazy sounds, and it's sort of this, I don't know, beginning of like, hey, this is not your typical rock band, and these people are in for whatever weird stuff is about to come. And
I actually love movies where they show people in recording booths making songs that we love and revealing to us some of the actual process.
Yeah, like the We Will Rock You. So there's like that. He's like, I just want our fans to be involved. So you do that, and we'll do this, and then... No, it's like, and then his big thing of like, yeah, and like just that they point that he is like truly a performer and he knows how to work a crowd and like this is what he was meant to do. And like as a fellow performer, I'm like, yeah, I
felt it.
I know that. I know that feeling when you're like, everybody's just like loving you and you're like on fire and it's all working and your voice is doing its thing and you're like, the ideas are coming.
I've been hesitant to see it because from what I understand, you know, a lot of gay people I know, they say they've absolutely loved the movie. And I'm just going to wait until it comes out onto like Netflix or something to see it. You know, I've always been a big fan of Freddie Mercury and Queen. It's the music I grew up with. He's an important figure. And from what I've been reading in some of the reviews, they say things like, you know, they've kind of like washed away a lot of his queerness. They make the straight people like the heroes and they're kind of saving him from this, you know, this gay lifestyle in some senses. So I don't know. Nobody saves him, though.
He walks himself right into it. Over and over. I mean, they try to save him because I think they see his, you know, like booze and like partying going downhill. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, I think that I heard people kind of debating how they treated his, you know, AIDS in the thing. And it's like, if the movie was about him having AIDS, he wouldn't have wanted that movie. made, you know, like right. he didn't tell people until what the day he was
so, like, the day before he died or something like
and
that.
It,
yeah.
Like, but in the movie they make it, he tells his band.
Yeah. That he didn't actually come out as HIV positive to them or having AIDS until like 2 years later.
So this is like, yeah. So there's like a little bit of bending of the mm-hmm. truth of like whatever, but you know, I mean it, they don't have a, you know, they don't see this blatant, there's not a scene where the doctor goes, you have AIDS mm-hmm. or you have HIV.
But did they have the, like the lead?
There's hinted.
Did they have the lead? Was there a cough?
And there's then a it was cough. Hinted? There's a
the
cough.
AIDS cough.
The AIDS cough.
There's an AIDS cough into a okay. thing, but there's blood splatter on the, okay. like a little bit of, he coughed up blood and then he's like, oh shit, I'm embarrassed.
Cause I would love to see like a reel if somebody out there has the time or the energy to
do
that,
all the AIDS coughs.
Of all the AIDS coughs oh, from God. All the movies where it's like, you don't know this person has AIDS, but then they cough and then you're like, that's the first, they go, and that's the first sign, they're like, this person, oh my God, this person has AIDS.
What other movies does that in it?
Oh, I
Philadelphia,
think it's Philadelphia,
the Band Tom Played of, On,
the Tom of, no,
Naked Band, Heart,
the Tom of Finland okay. movie, yes.
Oh, awesome.
Yes.
All right, Feast of Fan
it's
Funds.
It's almost become
you,
a cliche.
You, with your little editing skills.
Yeah.
You will get cookies delivered yes. to you if yeah. you put together a supercut of all of the AIDS.
I endorse that.
All of the
How
AIDS.
How many sources do you want? At least let's give them the movies.
Well, so they have to worry. You'll have to
Philadelphia has it. Mm, yeah. And the Band Played On. Mm. The Naked Heart on HBO. The Tom of Finland recent film. Mm-hmm. The
I'm sure it's on television you
can,
shows.
Yes, so whatever supercut you can yeah. do.
Those are five sources at least.
Yeah.
Any movie basically where a character gets AIDS,
there's a cough.
But you don't know it yet. It's the cough comes
the,
first.
The one with the Judd Apatow as a crossdresser as a trans character. Had,
you mean Jared Leto?
Jared Leto, yes.
But don't we already know this person had HIV or something?
No, no. Dallas Buyers Club, the main character.
Has the cough first.
Matthew McConaughey okay. does have a cough.
Okay.
He goes, and it's like, so, next scene, you have AIDS.
I mean, if people want to do supercuts of all these other things, they might as well do this.
Yeah,
maybe
a
PSA.
Well, you know,
do you have
a
cough?
It's a bit of
Are
a cliche.
An,
it's a cliche. Yeah.
Are you a character in a motion picture? Mm-hmm. Do you cough a lot? You better go see your doctor.
You might have AIDS.
You might have AIDS.
So the Cher Show, which was here in Chicago, yeah. has now moved on to Broadway, and they had their opening night.
Oh.
And in attendance was Kim Kardashian and Kanye West. And the guy who played Sonny, Jared Spector, tweeted at Kanye, saying, hey, Kanye, so cool that you're here at the Cher Show. If you look up from your cell phone, you'll see we're doing a show up here.
Oh, my God.
It's opening night. Kind of a big deal for us. Thanks so much.
And, of course, Kanye West's fans are like, theater sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, gotten like 44,000
likes. You should be lucky that he should be even there, losers.
Does he, man, does he know he's there?
You know he's, he knows he's there.
I think he later reluctantly apologized. I'm sorry if I offended, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, good apology. If.
You know, that's what I don't know where he did it, but
the
he.
If apology. I'm so sorry if I did this.
It's a conditional apology.
Mm-hmm.
Are conditional apologies apologies? I don't think they
no.
are.
No.
You know.
No.
It's a way for celebrities to be like, all right, manager.
But, you know, when Jared performed, it was just kind of like people are watching the show and then, like, you know, they're liking it and the shares are good. But when he comes out and he does his Sonny, where everybody's just like, oh, my God, this is amazing. Because he is so good at Sonny.
Yeah, we saw that actor. Yeah. He was phenomenal.
Is he a little guy?
He's a little guy.
And he totally does that voice, you know, Sonny.
Oh, yeah, that Sonny. Yeah.
Professor Frank.
I think I remember seeing one of my first exposures to Sonny was when I watched Hairspray.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was, like, exposed to drag queens just from, like,
actor,
my very young age.
The actor, Sonny Bono. The actual real yeah. Sonny Bono, not the actor who plays Sonny
no,
Bono.
No, the real Sonny.
He played Debbie
Sonny
Harry's
Bono.
Husband.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I loved that. And
he said, hey, Debbie, how you doing?
I loved it.
Oh, Cher, I love you so much. Dolly Parton is in hot water with her
Why?
Husband now by putting him on blast.
Why? What happened?
Well, I don't know if she's in hot water or not, but so she went on one of those late night talk shows. I think this is the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, and she's promoting her new her soundtrack to the film Dumplin with starring Jennifer Aniston. And she says that her husband, Carl Thomas Dean, has a fantasy of having a threesome with her and Jennifer Aniston. And she giggled about it, said, her husband fantasizes about it a lot, but probably it's never going to happen because, according to Dolly, I mean, he can't. can't even get it out to pee, much less get it up for three.
She said that?
Yes.
Well, he is like, how old is he now? I mean, they've been married for a long time.
Isn't there like senior Viagra?
That she's a lesbian?
Well,
she got tattoos underneath those sleeves. She's wow.
She's black hair.
Yeah,
like, she's not even. You wouldn't recognize Dolly if she's walking down the street.
You'd be like, oh, that's interesting. That woman, that brunette, looks like Dolly Parton.
But what about her titties?
Those titties are real, honey.
I know, but you noticed those.
But she got a breast reduction, I believe. And so I think a lot of what you see now is a little bit of padding. I think they're more like, you know, she's comfortable.
Because remember when, you know, when she was kind of, you know, when she was really big in the 80s, like when I was a kid, the joke about Dolly Parton was just shoving balloons in your shirt.
Well, she had huge tits.
Yeah, but it's just always like, that's a quick joke.
If you want to double these, you double these.
Double
the
these.
Money and your tits.
Double these.
I notice your breasts are quite handsome, Meg Grunwald.
Yeah, thank you.
You have a very promising
career.
Yeah,
they're double
in
D's in case anybody's
You
just
are
really?
Double D's for real?
Yeah, 34 double D's.
All right.
Yay.
Yeah. Woo. Shake them if you got them.
Yes. I'm actually bigger than a double D when I'm in drag. Just to let you know. Mm-hmm. Not because I'm an ambitious woman, but because I want a flattering silhouette.
I used to be a triple D.
And I'm not sure what I am, but it's bigger than a double D. I actually ordered a double D bra and it was too small.
Yeah. Boobs are mostly fat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I lost fat and they went down a size. Yeah.
That's normal.
But then your rib cage, you know, I mean, there's people that have huge rib cages, but then like in proportionate. I mean, I think I'm pretty proportionate as far as like boobage versus chestage, you know.
Yeah.
Like my rib cage.
You look good. You have got.
Thanks.
You've got a tight body.
Thanks.
You do CrossFit. You work out.
I don't really do CrossFit very much anymore.
No?
But I do water aerobics.
Well, all right.
There's a bunch of
what do? You do water aerobics instead of CrossFit?
Because both of my CrossFit gyms. I had two CrossFit gyms close within 6 months of each other.
Oh,
and
really?
So then I was like,
are they not making the money that they used to? Or
no, just different. Yeah, different location. Yeah, one of them went sour, and then the other one just they. Went down
Are you
to
saying
one
it's
location.
The end of CrossFit now?
For Is me, it? Possibly. No.
People
my new
that get
identity.
Into it, and then they're. You were so into it.
I was really into it, but you know, it's harder on your body, and it's really expensive, and that's really what it comes down to now. And you know, I do water aerobics.
You have to pay for every single time you exercise.
Well, you pay monthly, like a membership. You go to classes. I mean, but it's like, you know, typically $200 a month.
That's really high.
For a class that you're taking, you know, and I just felt like eventually I was paying a lot and I wasn't getting the right coaching and all this stuff. And so now I just, you know, I do water aerobics with my mom and all the other people in their retirement years. And, you know, I love water aerobics. It's really fun. You go high. It's really fun.
You get high before you go? Does your mom get high with you?
No, I don't think she gets high before she goes to water aerobics.
Okay. You don't think so.
I don't know. But so. I love working out high because I can be very in tune with my body and I can think about like really pushing the water away. And I'm like, yes, I'm opening up the saloon doors. And I don't know. The water feels cool on your body. Just saying.
Yeah.
Try it out.
I like putting the water on my
There's
face.
A 9-year-old boy who went before a city council in Colorado because snowball fights were considered illegal for over 100 years. This has been on the books.
This is
no
like
snowball fights. Exactly. And he's just like, this is not fair. And so he went up in front of the city council. He's like, I want to be able to throw snowballs
hear
without
ye,
fear of going
ye.
To jail.
I am interested in partaking in a fight of snowballs. Now, there is a statute. Please. Remove it. Did they get it removed? Did he win?
And he won. They unanimously voted to rescind the statute on that. And his first target is going to be his little brother.
Oh.
Yay.
I feel like we were just an early morning talk show where it's like, and his first victim, his little brother.
All right, Kathy Lee Gifford. Have
the
some
next
wine.
One has rocks in it. That's what they always
used
to warn
you about.
Have you
watched a lot of those Hallmark Channel movies?
No, I refuse to. I hate all of them.
You haven't watched
I
the Christmas
them.
Prince on Netflix yet?
No,
oh
but here,
God.
Let me tell you.
I
here's
love those.
Okay, my friend has the Hallmark Christmas app, and you can check mark off the things to see which ones you've watched. Now, we watched them all on one screen. Here is what it takes to have a Hallmark Christmas movie picture.
Okay.
You need some sort of cursive word.
Yes.
And some sort of other regular font. So it would be like, a you know, calligraphy Christmas miracle.
A good witch okay. Christmas.
It always has to be some, like, two people, some sort of caressing or holding each other, or some sort of, like, running with each other, like, oops. And
the
then
time traveler's wife.
And then typically Candace Bergen has to be. Not Candace Bergen. Candace Cameron.
Oh, not her.
Candace Cameron Bure.
I can't no. stand
she's
her,
in
no.
all those Hallmark
she's
movies.
She's in some of them.
She's Kurt Cameron's sister,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I love her.
Yeah, she's one of those weirdo evangelicals, too, isn't she?
I don't know if she is. I know her brother is.
Yeah, I think she is.
Well, part Candace of the problem is that
Candace
those,
Bergen, I'm
those,
just going to take her onto the Hallmark
Cameron's,
channel.
Those Camerons, they can't get a lot of acting roles,
well,
you know?
But people love those, and I saw some socks
I
where
do,
on the soles
them.
It says, like, do not disturb, I'm watching Hallmark Christmas movies.
Yeah. Now you know what to get me for.
I don't know. Maybe it's the Jew in me that I'm just like, this is unbelievable.
It's all schmaltz,
small
right?
town shit. Oh, this we play a game at Laugh Out Loud where I perform as well, and it's called Hallmark Pitchman, and you get two letters and then somebody pitches a story for the Christmas. So if you give me like, so if it was MF,
okay.
It'd be like a small town girl owns a bakery. And a new busy businessman comes into town. And of course, they know all about baking. It's a muffin friendship. And they're going to, whatever. It's like starring Tracy Gold. So it's just, you know, we do.
Ask me why I think you should give it a second chance.
Why should she give it a second chance?
Yeah, please. Go ahead, convince me.
Well, first of all, a lot of this, it's its own genre unto itself.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
And it is sentimentality.
It will make you cry.
In a nutshell. I think the problem with soap operas is that they are addictive. The goal of a lot of us serialized television shows is not necessarily to sort of give you a vacation from your troubles in your life, or, you know, sort of remind you of a value or something good in the world. It's to hook you onto watching the show. And what I really appreciate about the Hallmark Channel genre is that it's a movie unto itself that doesn't require you to watch other shows to understand it and follow it.
Because if you watch one of them, then you've seen them all. you know, I guess I'll give it a try, but I...
You should watch it with me, because it's so much fun to watch it and to laugh a little bit at it. But at the same time, it is a reminder that there's goodness in the world, and that, you know, despite sentimentality, that people can come together and fall in love, and you know, a lonely baker can fall in love with a rich corporate businessman, and he can discover that there's more to life than just money, and she can discover that there's more to life than muffins.
Okay, fine. Here's a new pitch. Single 35-year-old comic in Chicago looks for love. No,
all the wrong places.
All the wrong places.
And she's about
like
to improvise.
Like an old person water aerobics.
She's about to improvise the role of her life with a new acting teacher.
She's starting as the new coach, and then somebody comes in and buys the company. And he's got. She has to teach him what comedy is all about.
Yes.
You know.
What's the title of this one?
It's called The Comedian's Wife.
Mm-hmm.
Or Husband. Mm-hmm. Just for laughs.
Comedy.
Just for love.
Just for love.
It has to be.
Sort of love.
It is very grand. I call it grandma porn, because in some ways it's all about like the grandmother, you know. And the funny thing about it is like the product placement is just so shameless.
They had all sorts of Apple products, and like the last one we watched. What else did they have?
There was a scene, and it's literally like
United.
I'm on my iPhone right now, and I'm about to get on United Airlines, yeah. And you know, and just like the logos are really.
Hey, babe, grab me a smart water.
Yeah. But the cinematography is so beautiful.
I mean, there's talented people working on these projects.
Oh, you guys are really,
I drank the Kool-Aid.
He's way into it more than I am. I'm just like, I'll tolerate it. And I'm just like, but I got to tell you, when we watch, because he watched The Christmas Prince Marriage. And I was just like, well, let's see the first one from last year, The Christmas
Prince.
He's
like, I need some context if I'm going to watch a sequel.
And so I watched the first one with him. And I was just like, I had some tears. I'm like, why am I crying at this? It's stupid. It's
good,
terrible.
Though. They have some good actors. They have the queen from Star Trek.
Trek, the Borg Queen, plays a queen.
But
in
they
this
only
thing.
Have they only have heterosexual relationships in these.
No, right? There was a gay guy in it.
What? Yeah. No, he's not the focal point of the story.
It's never about the gays being the focal point. It's about grandma. This is for grandma.
Grandma needs to see me married.
Grandma needs to see.
Of course, she's just an angel on the tree this year.
No, it's just sometimes there's a grandma character, and she, you know, and people very respectful to her. And sometimes, you know, we don't have any time for grandmother. Oh, we're just so busy these days. And, oh, grandma, she has a cold.
She has AIDS.
But we always have time for bumps.
Does she have AIDS?
Grandma has AIDS. No.
She coughed. I'm just saying.
She went to the doctor. And everybody's, you know, holding their breath. And just turned out to be a bad cold, you know.
Mm-hmm. No.
It's always like there's calamity.
But you know, a lot of those older people are getting a lot of STIs and stuff in their nursing homes.
I think we've talked about this before, how
they're
and I was telling you, it was weird because, you know, there was older people on that reality TV show I did. And the young people are like, I can't believe that person would hit on that person. I'm like, listen, you need to understand this because you're a 20-something-year-old. Doesn't matter how old you are, someone will still fuck you. Mm-hmm. Whether you're 70,
Amen.
80, or 90,
I'm
people are still having sex.
And still kick you.
And there's money to be spent that people will take to have sex with you as well.
Very true.
What is it that joke the doctor said to your mom? That's a great story.
My mother's, you know, she, you know, as you get older, women sometimes when they laugh, they pee. And it's like, if you don't use it, you lose it. And so the doctor was explaining to her, is like, you know, what's your romantic life like? And she's, you know, it's my mom's like, well, my husband's been dead for 10 years. She's like, well, you know, are you seeing him? No. She's like, well, if you don't use it, you lose it. And then my mother goes, what do you want me to do? Go down and pick up some old geezer on the corner of 10th and State Street? And the doctor's like, he doesn't have to be old. And my mother was just like, ha, ha, ha.
She liked it enough to tell you the
story.
So
are you sending a Hitachi magic wand to your mom?
That's about the most sex stories my mother has ever told me.
Wow.
Like that. But it's, you know, it's pretty funny.
It is interesting. My younger sister, who's, you know, she identifies, I think, as non-conforming everything. Mm-hmm. You know, she's like that, the youngest in Transparent.
Mm-hmm.
She has
that show nobody's watched.
That show, poor Transparent. The final season is going to be a musical. I'm not sure how that's going to go. But my sister's very much like that character, and you know, she feels her way through life and her identity through sex and you know, she's and gender. She uses the male pronoun on Facebook. She's
but you keep using she.
Well, because she also is fine with me calling her she too. So it's whatever. She's just, you know, wants to use the male pronoun on Facebook. Because pronouns are the patriarchy. And so for my for one Christmas, she bought my younger sister bought my older sister a vibrator. And it was the scandal of the family.
I think that's weird and creepy to buy your sibling a vibrator.
Listen, you know what? Later on, I said, what'd you do with that vibrator? She's like, my older sister's like, I used it. Did you like it? Yeah, I did. I was like, well, why'd you give her such a hard time about it?
It's crazy to give a vibrator sister. In front of all these other people.
In front of other people.
She did discreetly. And I think, somebody found out about it and started blabbing about it. It wasn't me, just for the record.
You just put her on blast to, like, half.
Well, now, after the, you know, long after the fact.
It was 20, it's 10 years
20
ago.
Years ago was the story, you know. So, to me, I'm like, I think it's great to support your family members. And it's a hard gift to give to somebody saying, you know, here, have Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah.
Hope you have good
sex.
Get off.
get off.
Here's some lube. Here's some condoms. Here's a vibrator. Here's a Hitachi magic wand.
At this age, I'm like, you good? I'm like, I will be in a second. I'll be like, just 1 minute. And you just hear the door slide.
I'm just getting this tension out of my neck. Your mother used to drive around with a vibrator. Pointed at her neck.
In her ear. She would use a vibrator in her ear.
Oh, God. Mark, going to pick you up.
Can we change the subject, please?
Remember, folks, Feast of Fun is made possible because of your financial support. Make a generous one-time donation through the holidays at feastoffun.com/donate and receive a box of cookies. Just let us know that you want the cookies. And don't be a Scrooge.
Don't be a Grinch.
Show us the love. Only be green like the Grinch, not.
We also have t-shirts for sale at our store at feastoffun.com/store. They make great gifts.
And of course, Meg Grunwald's fabulous holiday
Home for Hanukkah with Bubby.
Hanukkah.
Yes.
Home for Hanukkah with Bubby is at
CSC Theater, 929 West Belmont in Chicago, Wednesdays at 8 p.m.
Why do you say CSC and not Comedy Sports?
Because What's Comedy Sports is actually the show that we do, and the theater is called CSC Theater.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
What does CSC stand for?
Comedy Sports.
So if I went
bitch.
On...
You fucking bitch.
It's rebranding, not my fault.
I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing.
It is called officially CSC Theater.
Yes.
But it's in New York City.
It's not in New York City.
There's one. I'm looking here in the maps, and it's like, it doesn't show up.
CSZ.
Oh, CSZ? There it is.
Thank you for promoting the show.
It's ZSE with a Z, not ZSE with an S, because ZSE with an S is in New York, not Chicago.
It's CSZ.
Like Liza with a Z.
Theater, yeah. 929 West Belmont.
It's a That's nice a good place.
Yeah.
I like that fun. Place.
And then on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they have the regular show.
How much is
the Comedy Sports show?
Yes, and I play and I ref in as well.
It's $40 to go to?
For what?
To see your show?
No, my show's only
$10. $10? Oh, it's $10.
And
why
you know,
not go?
If you have a 20, you should do 10 to Feast of Fun, 10 to come see the
That's
show.
That's good. And you get latkes.
And you get latkes.
You get food.
Yeah. Do you get little gold coins, too?
Yeah, I got some gelt. And you get a, and you can take a dreidel home.
Oh, wow.
And do anything with you want to with it.
Yeah.
Once, strip
you, once you take that dreidel home, it's all yours.
Yeah, I don't want it back.
Meg, it was so good to catch up
yes,
with you.
Yes, thank you guys.
Hopefully we get to spend some time over the holidays
yes.
together.
Christmas. Yeah, we're going to be Christmas yeah, with your family.
Yeah, we can do maybe a little Facebook Live from the house.
That would be fun.
Pull the costumes
Your
out.
Mom is so, and your dad are so wonderful people. I really just cherish them very much.
I cherish you too.
And we love you.
Love you guys Aww. Too.
Happy holidays.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah. Some people say happy Holocaust.
Holidays.
We're not quite
holidays.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're like...